Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word. I praise you, Father, for the faith that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you for clarifying things for us at what faith is and how to operate in faith. And I thank you, Lord, that when we do that, that you will heal us quickly. And I praise you and I glorify you for your word, Father, that teaches us these things. Well, folks, that's what I want to talk about. God will heal you quickly. You know, God's healing power is real. It's present, and it's available to you right now. Not next week. Not when you get your life cleaned up. Not when you feel more spiritual. But right now. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to suffer for it. And you don't need to chase miracles. Healing has already been purchased for you through the stripes of Jesus. But there is a key. There's a simple act of faith, a response that unlocks what has already been done. And if you'll do this one thing, if you'll lean in and listen and receive, you'll not leave this moment the same. So don't let history talk you out of your healing. Don't let symptoms silence your spirit. Don't let religion replace revelation, because these next few minutes are your moment of divine encounter. So get ready, because God is about to do something in you that no man can explain and no devil can stop. You know, when we talk about divine healing, we're not referring to something that God might do someday in some distant future when he's in a good mood or if you're spiritual enough to earn it. No, healing is not something God is trying to figure out for your case. Healing's not something he's withholding until you've proven yourself. Healing is not a pending request in heaven's inbox. Folks, it's a finished work. Just like salvation, just like righteousness, just like peace with God, healing's already been secured and provided through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus accomplished on the cross was complete and final when he said, "It is finished." It wasn't just the end of his suffering, it was the end of sickness having the right to dominate your body. When Jesus bore our sins on the cross, he also bore our diseases. It clearly tells us in Isaiah 53:4-5, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And in the Hebrew language, that literally means our sicknesses and our pains. It don't say maybe. It says surely. He surely did it. Did you get that? There ain't no room for doubt here. There's no guesswork in the word. Because this is the infallible, eternal word of God speaking to your situation right now. And then verse 5 continues on. It says, with his stripes we are healed. Not we will be. Not someday. Maybe if conditions are right, we'll be healed. Past tense, it's already done. Already settled, already transferred to your spiritual account. And the church has failed to walk in this truth because it has relegated healing to a secondary blessing or an optional bonus. Instead of recognizing it, that it's a central part of redemption. Healing is not a luxury for a few. It is a covenant right for every blood-washed believer. And if you are saved, then healing belongs to you as much as forgiveness of sins does. God doesn't separate the two. Look at Psalms 103:1-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. It doesn't say some, it says all, doesn't it? Do y'all see the pairing here? Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. He doesn't forgive some and leave you with the rest. He doesn't heal some and let you suffer the rest. It says all your iniquities and all your diseases. He took them both. And that's the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus gave us. The same blood that washed away your sin also broke the curse of sickness. Glory to God. The blood of Jesus did not just redeem your soul. It redeemed your body also. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. That quickening power is in you right now, not later. And the spirit who raised Jesus lives in you, and he brings life to your physical body now. He doesn't need to come from heaven. He's already in you if you're born again. And so many people are waiting for healing as if it's coming in the mail when God says it's already been delivered. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to receive what has already been done. You're not trying to convince him to heal you. He's already convinced. He already sent his word, glory to God. It says in Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word did the healing then, and the word does the healing now. And that word is alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. When you speak his word with faith, it carries the same power as if Jesus himself stood in front of you and said it. That's how powerful the finished work of Christ is. Jesus never told anyone, wait, I'm not ready to heal you just yet. And he never said, come back when you prayed more. And he never said, your sickness is here to teach you something. He never said all those things. Every person who came to Jesus in faith received healing. Everyone. Not one was turned away. Not one was told, not today. Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And that's the clear will of God, healing for all. If Jesus healed all then, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then healing is for all now. That includes you. That includes whatever condition you're facing. That includes whatever pain has plagued you for months or even years. People say, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. But how many of you know that his word is his will? And his word says you are healed. Not you might be healed. Not you could be healed. You are. And if you're waiting on a voice from heaven, open your Bible. His will is written down. Jesus paid the price for your healing just as much as he paid for your salvation. In fact, they were paid for with the same blood. And just as you didn't earn salvation, you don't earn healing. It's received by grace through faith. And that's the only transaction that's required. Now, the enemy tries to convince you otherwise. He whispers, healing isn't for everybody. You lied. You sinned too much to deserve it. He accuses us and says, this is punishment for what you did. But the cross destroyed every lie. The blood silenced every accusation. Jesus took the punishment. He bore the penalty. He became the curse. He absorbed your pain, your disease, your weakness. And in exchange, he gave you his righteousness, his strength, and his healing. That's the divine tree. That's what Calvary accomplished. So how do you walk in it? You agree with God. You don't look at the symptoms. You don't rehearse the pain. You don't wait for feelings. You just walk by faith. Faith is not denying the problem, it's applying the truth to the problem. And it's choosing to believe that God's word is more real than what you feel. And it's choosing to say, by his stripes I am healed, even when the pain screams louder. Now, faith doesn't ignore the facts, it just exalts the truth above the fact. Healing is not about a feeling. Healing is about a knowing. You got to know it's yours. And you got to know it's finished. And you must know that if Jesus bore it, you don't have to. You don't have to carry what he already carried. And you don't have to fight for what he already won. You don't have to earn what he already gave. Healing is not a future event. It is a present reality. It's not a promise waiting to happen. It's a promise already filled, already fulfilled. And you're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed resisting sickness. And that's your position in Christ. That's your inheritance, and that's your identity. And when you accept that, when you settle that in your heart, when you believe it with every fiber of your being, the power of God begins to move. Your body lines up with the word. The same spirit that raised Jesus up begins to rise up in you, and healing manifests. Not because God changed his mind, but because you aligned your faith with his finished work. Faith's not a long, drawn-out process. Faith is not a slow, religious progression toward God's promises. Folks, faith is immediate. It's right now. The moment you believe, something shifts. Something activates. Faith is not hoping and waiting. Faith is believing and receiving. And the second your heart says, I believe, and your mouth says, so be it, the power of God is released into your body, your mind, your finances, wherever the word is applied. Faith has no delay built into it. The power doesn't wait on God. God waits on faith. It's not that God's power is coming. His power has already been released. It's your faith that switches it on. It's like an electric switch in a room. The wires are alive. The current is flowing. The source is connected. But nothing happens until somebody flips the switch. God's power to heal, to deliver, and to restore is live, active, and present. But it's your faith that turns it on. Hebrews says in 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not tomorrow, not when you feel spiritual, not when everything lines up, it's right now. Faith is always now. Hope looks to the future, but faith takes it now. Faith doesn't say, I'll be healed. Faith says, I am healed. Faith doesn't wait for a change to believe. It believes to see the change. Faith is bold, and faith is aggressive. Faith doesn't ask for permission. It takes what grace has made available. And it tells us in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. That believing comes at the moment of prayer, not afterward. Not when the symptoms change. Not when you feel a chill run down your spine. No. Right then, when you pray, believe. And if you believe now, you receive now. And the moment you believe, the power of God is activated. Glory to God. Jesus made this plain over and over and over again. The woman with the issue of blood didn't touch his robe and beg for power to come. She touched with faith. And when she did, immediately virtue flowed from him into her body. Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Not because he didn't know somebody brushed up against him in the crowd, but because someone touched him with faith. Dozens were bumping into him. They were pressing in. But nothing happened for them. Why? No faith. But one woman said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And that was the moment the power activated. That's when heaven responded. Not when she shouted, not when she cried, not when she explained her situation, but when she believed and acted on that belief. Jesus didn't say, "My power has made you whole." He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Faith pulls the power from God into your situation. Blind Bartimaeus sat on the roadside crying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he didn't ask politely. He cried out with desperate, raw faith. And Jesus stopped. The Son of God, walking through a crowd with multitudes pulling at him, stopped for one man's cry of faith. When Bartimaeus was brought to Jesus, the Lord asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus replied, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." He didn't say, "I choose to heal you today." Not you were predestined for this. Not your tears move me. Faith. That's what did it. And instantly, his eyes were opened. The power of God did not hesitate. Faith activated it immediately. And God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. All through Scripture, the power of God moves not just because of need, but because of faith. The man at the pool of Bethesda waited 38 years for an angel to stir the water, hoping to be healed. But Jesus walked up and asked, "Do you want to be made whole?" And that man gave every excuse in the world. He described how others got in first and blah, blah, blah. But Jesus didn't wait for the water to move. He simply said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." That man's obedience to the word spoken released faith. And as he obeyed, the power of God hit his body and raised him up. Glory to God. Faith is the spiritual connector between heaven's supply and your earthly need. It reaches into the realm of the Spirit and brings what is unseen into manifestation. Folks, faith does not beg. Faith declares. Faith does not question. Faith agrees with the Word of God and acts on its final truth. The Roman centurion, he understood that perfectly. He came to Jesus and said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He didn't need Jesus to touch him. He didn't need oil. He didn't need music. He just needed the word from God. And Jesus marveled at this man's faith, saying, "I have not found so great faith, not in Israel." And the moment Jesus said, be it done, that servant was healed. Why? Because the centurion's faith connected with the authority of Jesus' word and activated power across distance and space. You don't have to wait for a special service, a preacher to lay hands on you, or the right song to be sung. You just need to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more words you hear, the more faith rises. And when faith rises to the level of bold action, power flows. Some people hear the word and nod in agreement, but they never act on it. Folks, agreement is not faith. Mental assent is not faith. James said, "Faith without works is dead." That means until your faith does something, until it speaks or stands or resists, declares or obeys, it remains dormant. But the moment that faith acts, God's power responds. And that's why Jesus often said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Not according to your emotions, your background, your family history, or even your prayer life. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the trigger of miracles. Faith is the key that unlocks the supernatural. God's power is already there. It's present. It's not on delay. It's not being rationed, and the Holy Spirit's not on vacation. The Word is alive, and the Spirit is willing. And the question here is not whether God will move. The question is, will you believe? Will you respond with faith right now? Will you shut down every voice of doubt and say, I take it now in Jesus' name? And will you speak to your mountain and command it to move? Because the instant you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth, the switch flips, power flows, the devil flees, the sickness breaks, the bondage lifts, and faith is that instant. Glory to God. And it ain't based on time, it's based on trust. The kingdom of God operates by spiritual laws, and one of the most powerful laws is the law of confession. Your words are not just sounds or expressions. They are spiritual containers. They carry faith or they carry fear. They release heaven or they open the door to hell. The Bible never told you to beg God for healing. The Bible told you to believe and speak. Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith comes to pass, he shall have it. It doesn't say you will have what you cry about, and it does not say you will have what you hope for. It says you will have what you say. And that mountain could be cancer, arthritis, diabetes, or depression, but no matter how big it seems, it has to obey your words. And if those words are backed by faith, Jesus himself did not beg God when he confronted sickness. He spoke. When he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick with a fever, he rebuked the fever and it left her. When the leper came and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately that man was healed. He didn't hold a long prayer meeting or gather intercessors. He spoke. The word released power. And the same principle applies to you as a believer filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't beg God for healing like a slave hoping for a favor. You are a child of God, a joint heir with Christ, and your inheritance includes healing. You don't plead for what has already been promised. You declare what's already been given. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means the healing or the worsening of your condition is resting in your mouth, not just in heaven, because your body listens to your words. Your immune system listens. Your cells listen. Your bones, your blood, your brain, your heart, they all respond to the words that you speak. And that's why you can't afford to speak what you feel. You must speak what God said. Feelings change, but his word is eternal. And the devil wants you to say what your body feels like. He wants you to repeat the doctor's report, to meditate on the symptoms, to rehearse the pain. But the word says, let the weak say, I am strong. It does not say, let the weak cry about weakness. It says, say, I am strong. And folks, there's power in that declaration. Many believers sabotage their own healing by speaking against it. They hear the word, they get excited, feel a little relief, and then the next day they say, well, I guess it didn't work. Or I don't feel any different. And what you're doing in that moment is pulling up the seed before it takes root. You're using your words to cancel what you have already activated in the spirit. Faith must speak in alignment with the word and not the situation. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that word salvation includes healing, deliverance, preservation, and wholeness. Confession leads unto salvation. If you want healing, you must speak healing. If you want wholeness, you must speak wholeness. Not just once, continually, daily, boldly. You speak it even when the pain is present. You speak it even when the doctor's report says otherwise, because the truth does not change based on evidence. and the evidence must submit to the truth. And Jesus taught his disciples to speak to problems, not to talk about them. When the fig tree didn't produce fruit, he cursed it with words. He didn't call a group and complain about it. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And the next day, it had withered from the roots. The power of his words changed the tree from the inside out. When he taught the disciples after that moment, he didn't say, "Watch what I can do." He said, "Have faith in God." In other words, you can do what I just did if you believe and speak. You don't talk about the mountain. You don't describe it, cry about it, study it, and measure it. You speak to it. And when you speak faith, it must move. So many Christians still beg God to heal them, hoping that he might one day decide to do so. That's not how the New Testament church was designed to function. The apostles never begged God to heal someone. They spoke in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John met a man at the gate called Beautiful. He was lame from birth and asking for alms. What'd Peter say? He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He didn't pray, he didn't beg, he didn't ask God to come down. He said, "Such as I have," because he knew healing power was already in him. And when he spoke, that power was released. And that man leapt up, healed instantly. You must begin to speak like someone who already has what God says that you have. Stop saying, "One day God's going to heal me," and start saying, "I receive my healing now." And stop saying, "I don't know why it's not working." And start saying, "God's word is working mightily in me." You're not trying to convince God to do something. You're agreeing with what God already did through Jesus. When Jesus bore your sickness, he settled the matter. When he took stripes on his back, healing was released. It's not coming. It's already done. And your job is not to convince God. Your job is to convince your soul, your body, and your surroundings by speaking the word of God until everything around you bows to it. Don't speak what you see. Speak what you believe. Don't talk about the symptoms. Talk about the stripes of Jesus. Don't declare the pain. Declare the promise. And every word out of your mouth should align with the healing that Jesus purchased for you. Your confession is your spiritual agreement, and heaven responds to agreement. When your mouth agrees with God's word, it binds sickness. When your mouth agrees with the doctor's report in fear, it binds the word. And that's why James warned that a double-minded man is unstable and receives nothing from the Lord. You cannot speak faith one day and doubt the next. You cannot declare healing in the morning and describe pain at night. You have to, you must hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. And that word voice is activated. Healing is voice activated. The angels of God respond to the voice of his word. And when you speak what God says, the supernatural goes into motion. That's why the devil fights your mouth so hard. That's why he tries to make you focus on symptoms. Because he knows if you keep declaring, keep speaking, keep confessing, the word will prevail. There is no sickness too big for your words. And when your words are filled with God's truth, there's no condition too far gone that the word cannot restore it. But the word must be spoken. It can't just be believed silently. It must be released like a sword out of your mouth. All through the scripture, there is a pattern, a divine flow that connects faith to obedience. And every miracle, every healing, every breakthrough is tied to a simple instruction. It's never just about believing in the heart alone. There's always a corresponding act of faith. That act might seem small or insignificant. It might not make sense to the natural mind, but when it is born of faith and done in obedience, the supernatural is activated. God has always required a response and not just a mental agreement. It's not enough to say, I believe. Faith without action is dead. Real living faith always moves. It always responds. It always obeys. And more often than not, the instruction is simple. It might look foolish to others. It may feel uncomfortable. And it may seem beneath you. But in that small act lies the release of heaven's power. When Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, was afflicted with leprosy, he sought healing from the prophet Elisha. He came with prestige, gifts, and expectation. But Elisha didn't even come to the door. He sent a servant with the simple command, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman was furious. He expected the prophet to come out and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hands over the disease and healing. He didn't like the simplicity of the instructions. He didn't like the dirtiness of the river. He didn't like that the command required humility. But when he finally obeyed, when he dipped the 7th time, his skin was restored like that of a baby, of a child. The healing didn't come through ceremony or drama. It came through simple obedience to a specific word from God. And that's how faith works. God often gives us instructions that are simple but powerful. Jesus told the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And that command makes no sense to the natural mind. How can somebody with a paralyzed hand stretch it out? But the power was in the obedience. The moment the man moved to respond, healing flowed. The man at the pool of Bethesda had been there for 8 years, waiting for the stirring of the water. But Jesus didn't help him into the pool. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And when the man obeyed, when he made the effort to rise, that's when the miracle happened. The act of faith released power. Not the waiting, not the hoping, not the weeping. It was the obedience to a clear instruction. And sometimes the act of faith looks like praise. When Paul and Silas were locked in prison, they didn't beg for freedom. They just began to sing praises to God. And as they praised in obedience and faith, the prison shook, the doors opened, and every chain fell off. Sometimes that act of faith looks like a shout, glory to God. And when the walls of Jericho stood tall and impenetrable, God told Joshua to march around them and shout. That was the command. No swords, no battering rams, just obedience. And when they obeyed and shouted as commanded, the walls came down flat. The power was in the obedience. And many people miss their healing because they wait for something dramatic or complex. They think if it's not loud or long, it can't be spiritual. But the anointing flows in simplicity. God might tell you, lift your hands and thank me. He might say, get up and walk. He might whisper, forgive that person. He might lead you to lay hands on yourself and declare healing. These are simple acts, but when done in faith, they carry supernatural weight. The woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus to call her out. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She acted on her faith. She pressed through the crowd, reached out, and touched him. And in that instant, virtue flowed. Her action pulled power from him without him even speaking a word. That's the kind of obedience that triggers healing. Faith always involves movement. When God told Abraham to leave his country, he obeyed. When he told Moses to stretch out his rod over the sea, he obeyed. When Jesus turned water into wine, it was because the servants obeyed his word. Fill the water pots. Obedience is the bridge between the promise and the manifestation. It's not enough to hear the word. You must do something with what you hear. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And the deception is believing that just hearing and agreeing is enough. It's not. You must act. You must move in alignment with the instruction God gives you. The reason many don't receive is that they wait for confirmation, a feeling, or a sign instead of simply obeying. But the command is the confirmation. The word is the sign. If Jesus says, "Be healed," then you stand up and walk. If the word says, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover," then you lay hands and speak life. If scripture declares, "By his stripes you were healed," then you begin thanking him, moving in faith, speaking health, and acting like the healed. Because that's obedience. That's faith in motion. Obedience might mean turning off the voices of doubt and tuning in to the word of God. It might mean letting go of fear and stepping out boldly. And it might mean opening your mouth and declaring healing, even when your body is screaming in pain. It might mean laying aside the crutch, the cane, the medication, or the label the world has given you. It might mean forgiving someone who wronged you because bitterness has blocked your healing. It might mean dancing, shouting, weeping, or resting. Whatever it is, the act won't always make sense to your mind, but it will release power into your life. Jesus often used simple, symbolic acts to stir faith. He put mud on a blind man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. That man didn't get healed when Jesus touched him. He got healed when he obeyed. And he could have said, "Why mud? Why not instant healing?" But instead, he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. Glory to God. The healing was hidden in the obedience. God might ask you to do something right now. Something that doesn't seem related to your healing. But he's watching your reaction. The act may look unrelated, but it's the key to unlocking the manifestation because God is after your trust. Not your logic. Obedience is proof of faith. It's the outward expression of an inward confidence in God's word. It's the signal to heaven that says, "I believe what you said and I'm willing to act on it." And obedience breaks spiritual resistance. It breaks the enemy's grip. It breaks the stagnation that holds you back. The devil can't stop a believer who hears and obeys. And the moment you respond in faith to God's instruction, healing starts flowing like a river. The moment you act, even in weakness, even with trembling, even with pain still present, you open the floodgates of divine restoration. Obedience is the trigger that activates the fullness of God's promise in your physical body. The Holy Spirit is not just a theological concept or a silent force hovering in the background. He is the living Spirit of Almighty God, the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep at creation, the same Spirit that came upon the prophets, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and that very same Spirit now dwells inside the believer. Romans 8 and verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you." That word "quicken" means to make alive. It means to energize, to bring vitality, to restore, to revive, to strengthen, and to renew. And this verse is not talking about the resurrection of your glorified body at the return of Christ. It says mortal bodies. That means your earthly body, your physical condition, your current state right now. And the Holy Spirit does not wait until you're in heaven to move. He works right now in your physical body when you believe and receive. God never intended for the believer to walk through life with a powerless, sickly body carrying the presence of a powerful God. The divine design is that your body, though mortal, would be subject to the life-giving force of the Spirit. You are not just a forgiven sinner trying to make it to heaven. You are a living temple of the Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" That temple is not just spiritual. It includes your physical body. And if God lives in you, then He intends to affect every part of you. God doesn't live inside your spirit while sickness rules your body. He's not a silent tenant. His very presence begins to work healing, restoration, and strength into every part of you. When you yield to Him and activate His power through faith, when you begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit within, something changes. You stop looking to heaven for healing and start drawing from the power already inside of you. Healing is not distant, it's resident. The anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens is already in you. And the moment you stop begging for it and start yielding to it, that power begins to quicken you. And you must stir it up. You must activate it by faith. And you must say, "Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are quickening me right now. Not later, not next week, not when someone lays hands on you." Now, you don't need to feel something to know He's working. You stand on the word that says He dwells in you and quickens you. You confess it until your mind aligns, your emotions align, your cells align, and your immune system aligns. The Holy Spirit responds to the word. He doesn't move by begging or emotion. He moves in harmony with the truth. And when you speak the word, He goes to work. John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The word of God spoken in faith releases the quickening of the Holy Ghost. And that word begins to permeate your being. It touches your nervous system. It heals your bloodstream. It renews your organs. It brings life where there was fatigue. It brings strength where there was weakness. It brings restoration where there was decay. That's the Spirit's work, and it's supernatural. When Jesus ministered healing, He did it by the power of the Spirit. Luke 5:17 says, "The power of the Lord was present to heal them." And that power was the Holy Spirit at work. Peter said in Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Jesus was anointed by the Spirit to heal, and that same Spirit now lives in you. He didn't diminish when Jesus ascended. He didn't lose power over time. He is the same Holy Ghost with the same healing anointing, ready to quicken every believer who will believe and respond. And the early church understood this. Paul laid hands on the sick and saw him recover, not because of his own strength, but because the Spirit within him flowed like a river. That same Paul shook off a viper from his hand and felt no harm. Why? Because the quickening power of the Holy Spirit coursed through his veins. And when that deadly poison tried to grip him, the Spirit of life overwhelmed it and neutralized it. And that same power is available to you. The healing you need is not outside. It is within. And the enemy tries to distract you with symptoms, but the Spirit responds to your faith, not your feelings. The Holy Spirit is not dominant. He is active. But he awaits. He waits on your permission. He waits on your agreement and your faith. And he won't force himself. He waits for you to acknowledge him, to yield to him, to let him rise up in you like a flood. And you stir him up with your praise. You stir him up by praying in the Spirit. You stir him up by declaring the word. You stir him up by thanking him in advance for healing him. And as you do, his quickening begins. It may start as a whisper in your spirit, but it becomes a roar in your body. And the more you yield, the stronger he flows. And the more you speak life, the more he performs it. Healing is not hard for the Holy Spirit. He's the one who raised the dead. He's the one who formed creation. He's the one who hovered over the waters and brought light into darkness. And there ain't nothing in your body too broken for him to fix. And when you meditate on the reality of his presence, you begin to see yourself differently. You stop seeing yourself as weak, broken, sick, and start seeing yourself as a temple filled with resurrection power. And you begin to walk like someone who is infused with divine energy. And you begin to talk like someone who is carrying glory. And you begin to expect life and vitality even in the face of pain or diagnosis. The expectation is not based on wishful thinking. It is rooted in the indwelling Spirit. You say, the Spirit of God is in me and he is quickening me right now. My bones are being strengthened. My blood is being purified. My organs are being restored. My youth is being renewed like the eagle. You say it not because you feel it, but because the Word of God says it. And the Holy Spirit always honors the Word. And the more conscious you are of the Spirit within, the less power that the symptoms have over you. And the more you focus on his indwelling presence, the less you are moved by reports or feelings. And you begin to walk in a higher realm. While you're not trying to get healed, you are releasing healing from the inside out. You begin to live from the wellspring of life within you. That's how the Spirit works. Not as a visitor from heaven, but as a resident power source. And the more you acknowledge him, the more he quickens every part of you. Faith doesn't operate in the realm of delay. Faith functions in the realm of now. And the moment you truly believe is the moment you receive. That's the principle Jesus himself laid down when he said in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them." Notice, he didn't say believe that you will receive. He said believe that you have received. Past tense. Not future. Not maybe. Not someday. When you pray, when you ask, when you declare, at that exact moment you believe, you receive. And that's when the transfer happens in the Spirit. And once it's received in the Spirit, it must manifest in the natural. But it cannot manifest until it's first believed. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. And there are countless people in desperate situations crying out in need. But it is faith that moves God's hand. Not emotion, not fear, not desperation. It is faith that activates the power of God. Faith that says, I take it now, I receive it now, I don't need another sign, another symptom to change, another person to pray. I believe it's mine now. And that's when things begin to shift. Not because God just decided to heal you at that moment, but because that's when you decided to receive. Healing was already provided. The cross already settled it. The blood already paid for it. The word already declared it. But it wasn't yours until you said, I take it now. Believing that you have received is the key that unlocks the power of the finished work of Christ. And so many believers remain in bondage because they're waiting. Waiting for the pain to go. Waiting for the report to change. Waiting to feel something different in their body before they believe it's done. But that ain't faith. That's walking by sight. And the word says we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't believe because the body changes. You believe so the body will change. Faith comes first, evidence follows. And too many are trying to reverse the order. They're trying to get a feeling so they can believe, but faith doesn't need a feeling. Faith takes the word of God as the final authority and stands firm until what is believed becomes visible. And when you believe you receive, your language changes. You stop saying, I'm waiting on God to heal me, and you begin to say, I'm healed now in Jesus' name. And you stop praying for healing over and over again like a beggar at the door, and you begin thanking God for the healing that's already yours. You stop asking and start praising. Because once you've received, you don't need to keep asking. You thank him. You confess the word and you act like it's true because it is. And that's how faith behaves. It acts as if the word is true, no matter what the senses say. Faith is not based on how you feel. Faith is based on what God said. And if God said by his stripes you were healed, then you don't need to see it to believe it. You believe it because he said it. You take it because it's been given. That's how faith operates. Stir up the spirit within you. Declare what God says about your body. And above all, believe that you received, you have received. Now, this is your moment. This is your shift. This is your time. Healing is not just possible. It is finished. It is done, and it belongs to you. Now, walk in it, talk like it, move like it, praise like it, because when faith rises, healing flows, glory to God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.